sports station. 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
It is a Friday edition. Stokely and Zach. Final hour of today's show. Stoke, you are counting down. You're like a race car in the red, man. You're like,
it's the final countdown.
The final countdown.
To the weekend.
Get
to the
ready. Weekend. Getting going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's a nice, I haven't looked at the weather. Hopefully it's a nice weather weekend. Should be okay.
Should be. It's March. You never know.
No snow in the forecast, but I didn't think there was snow in the forecast last night.
It was supposed to be yesterday.
What happened?
Then it was coming down. So
sideways.
Whatever. During the league's meetings next week, NFL owners will be asked to approve a flex plan for Thursday night games that go in effect for this season. The league wants to eliminate Thursday night matchups between losing teams. The NFL would be permitted to shift Sunday afternoon games to Thursday night from weeks 14 to 17 with 15 days notice. So basically 2 weeks worth of notice, basically towards the end of the year, last month of the season. And Thursday night football will not feature losing teams. Do you like that idea?
I love it.
You love that idea.
How could you not? You don't like it?
No, I just was like, is this because the Broncos-Colts game last year?
Exactly. Yes, we're trying to avoid bad football on standalone games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, this is our only game on. You want it to be compelling. It's late in the season.
Right.
I don't want to watch a crappy matchup. Now, I will, but I don't want to.
Right.
And a lot of people won't. So if you have the opportunity to flex a potential playoff scenario type of football game that's going to impact the playoffs, impact the division, why wouldn't you put that on your Thursday night game?
Front center.
Amazon paid a ton of money.
They did.
For to air these games or to stream these games, however you phrase it nowadays.
Do you think Amazon complained to the league?
Well,
I was like, hey, we're paying for a bunch of slappies here.
Well, the league knew that, and I think the league's been trying to make they have made the games better.
Mm-hmm.
There has been better matchups, whereas before they give the two worst teams in the league.
Yeah, Thursday night football used to be just
that's
awful.
Not the case. They're better games now, but when you get late in the season, it's hard to project, you know, in training camp or in the offseason, like what teams are going to be relevant.
Right.
Injuries happen, so things change quickly. If you lose a quarterback, you're not the same team as we thought you would be 6 months ago, right? So I think you have to be flexible towards the end of the season, and I like this, and I like this approach. I love it. Absolutely love
and
it. I
want to
see good football games. And Cecil, real quick, sorry, but they're giving you 15 days. So they're giving you 2 weeks notice. 2 weeks heads up. Hey, you're going to be playing on Thursday night.
You love this
weeks.
As a fan, but what about as a player?
Even with the 2 weeks.
About the players?
Even with the 2 weeks.
I'm not worried about the players. It's going to impact me.
Well, it doesn't affect
you. I want to watch good football.
Right.
Who cares about the players?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course I'm kidding. Like what? What? Like,
how do you get your body, your biorhythms, you're in a rhythm, and now all of a sudden, and I know it's 2 weeks. I know it's a plenty of lead-up time, but still, like, now you have a short week.
Yeah. You have a short week.
That you weren't planning on.
I mean, I know for me, when I had a Thursday night game coming up in 2 weeks, I didn't really think about it 2 weeks before. I wasn't planning, 2 weeks in advance Thursday
when
night game.
When do you think about the next game?
I need to do this differently. You know, after that Sunday game, I was like, okay, we got a game in 4 days. So I'm different than the linemen, the running backs that get hit, and the guys, the linebackers that are hitting, right?
Right.
I didn't get hit a lot. Okay. I ran a lot. So my legs, were worn out, but I didn't get hit a lot. I liked the short week. I liked the Thursday games because then on the back end, you got an extra bye. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're off, relaxing. It's like, this is great. So that was always my view on those games. And also, that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before the Thursday night game, it was walkthroughs, right? So the practices weren't hard.
Right.
So it was a nice, easy week leading up to that Thursday game where, when I played, get off my lawn. When I played, the week of practice was a son of a gun. Especially when you had Peyton Manning as your quarterback. Like, they were hard. We would finish Thursday practice, which was like 2.5 hours. We would finish it with a 2-minute drive, and you're just drenched. You felt like you just played a game. I mean, that was,
the practices that we went through. So when we had a when we had a Thursday game, guess what? We couldn't do any of that stuff. It's all walkthroughs, and it's like, okay, this is awesome. So I didn't mind Thursday night games. But the linemen, you know, obviously they got a lot of wear and tear on their body.
Right. They might have a different opinion of that.
Right. It's harder for them to recover.
The nice thing about the NFL is that when it comes to these sorts of rules changes, they're fast and loose, baby. Light and sweet, right? Like, they just, hey, what are we going to change? Yeah, change. In baseball, I mean, you do hear through spring training, like, all the old school get off my lawn fans who are just like, oh, this is terrible, don't change the game. I'm like, well, that's baseball. Baseball, they don't change the rules, and they're very slow to change, and they're very against change. The NFL, it's just like, what do we need to do? Yeah, done.
Yeah,
I'm sure this will pass. Yeah, I'm sure this will pass.
I'm sure it will also. It's about keeping your TV partners happy, right? Why wouldn't you want to do that as best you can? And I think this is a good way to do it. Amazon's paying a lot of money. Players reap a lot of benefits, obviously, from these TV packages. Right. So I think it's the right approach. We want to see good football games.
We want to see good football
matchups.
Games.
Good matchups, right?
Yeah, important matchups.
You don't want to see two losing football teams that aren't playing for anything, and we thought we were going to be seeing, you know, Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning, but, you know, Tom Brady's hurt, and, you know, and it's not as intriguing as we thought it was going to be when we set the schedule 6-7 months ago. So let's have that flexibility to put good football games on. That just kind of makes sense.
It makes sense, and it's something the NFL's probably going to do. So the NFL owners' meetings, this whole schedule.
But the whole players will not be happy with it.
No.
They won't be happy with it because most guys don't like the Thursday night games.
But the NFL, they like money. They like money a lot, and Amazon paid a lot. So this will probably pass in. The NFL owners' meetings are next week.
Next week, Cease.
It's so blankety-blank weird because – everything's thrown off with the extra week, and then the Super Bowl's different, and the Combine's different. Like, my whole biorhythms for the offseason are off.
They are.
The NFL with
the
this
Cecil season.
I know. It's the Cecil season. Stop messing up the Cecil season.
They're screwing with your
biorhythms,
clock.
Right.
Yes.
Internal clock.
Bio.
Something.
Rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, it just doesn't stop. This is why we love it. This is why it's so great. You know, we got one thing after another. Now we got owners meeting. They're going to be talking about rule changes, and we're going to get to hear from Sean Payton and George Payton and maybe Greg Penner, and that's going to be great. And we're going to hear all this different stuff that comes out. Will this get approved, and will that get approved? And then the next thing you know, we got, you know, more free agent signings, and then we got the draft coming up, and we got – it's just awesome.
Mini camps awesome. And OTAs, a rookie mini camp.
Broncos have signed two former Saints the last 2 days.
Yeah.
Tony Jones, running back, you really like.
Yes. Marquez Callaway, wide receiver.
5'11", 225-ish Tony Jones, a bruiser.
Yeah, power back.
Power back.
No nonsense.
Running behind Ben Powers. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Right? And then Marquez Callaway, tell me a little bit about
him
again.
He's 6'2", 209, undrafted at Tennessee a few years ago. Started 17 games over the last 3 years and did most of it with Sean Payton a couple of years ago with the Saints. So a speed guy, nice size speed ratio, special
nice
teams
size.
Guy. Yeah. 6'2", 209.
Yeah, that's a good size.
And he's
receiver.
Fast.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So,
and he's a return guy.
Two guys that were with Sean Payton that knows his system and what he likes. So,
right.
I like it. I like it.
So the Broncos have done that. They'll continue to do more. We'll continue to talk about it and break it down here on Sokol and Zach here on a Friday. You with me?
I'm with you.
We still got 50 minutes left.
Yeah. Well, I might dip out a little bit early today.
Okay.
I didn't tell you, but he said, oh.
Well, wait
maybe
a second.
5 minutes.
Do I do the KKFN thing or do you do that?
Well, if I leave 5 minutes early, you'll get to do it.
Yeah, okay,
you'll get to do it.
Because we can't do it early.
Huh?
That's the thing about the game. We can't do it early.
Right.
I think legally we can't do it early either. Like,
right,
we have to do
but
it
we don't
on
follow
certain
the
time.
Legal
oh.
ID rules around
We're
here.
We're outlaws here?
We made them. We made our own rules. So I don't know if they fall under the category of legal or not legal because you're supposed to do that.
Right.
And we've made it a game.
Yeah.
And we've adjusted the time.
Are you one of those make everything a competition guy?
Yeah. Yep.
There's nothing wrong with
that. No.
Nothing wrong with
that. Yeah. You got to have a little little sweat, little action going on, you know, get that heart rate up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be a winner and loser in everything that you do.
You were just doing the Caddyshack thing. We're watching golf here on the TV, and you're like, miss it, miss it,
yeah,
miss it.
Yeah, I got action going. And so, got a little action going right now, a little midday action.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that. Yeah. No,
just get the heartbeat up.
That's right.
Okay.
That's what it's all about.
I feel you.
You know, is my weekend going to start off good or bad? It's all determined by JT Poston.
Come on, JT.
Let's go.
Let's go. It is Stokely and Zach, Friday edition. Cecil Lammy here sitting in for Zach Bye. We'll talk with Will Peterson about the Colorado Avalanche coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We are shimmying right along. Stokely and Zach, Friday edition. Cecil Lammy sitting in for Zach Bye. We got Will Peterson, DenverSports.com, in now. And let's talk a little Avs, Will. Injury updates. You say we got some good news on who's coming back for the Avs.
We got great news today. Is my microphone on there?
It is now.
We got great news today. First of all, Cale Makar just missed a couple games, but he'll be back. Conn Smythe winner. That's obviously a positive when you bring back one of the best players in the world. But Eric Johnson, Cease. He broke his ankle in Florida. They told us 8 to 10 weeks. He will be back in 6 weeks. He is returning tonight against the Arizona Coyotes down at Ball Arena.
Wow.
So to break your ankle, you know, when you hear broken ankle, you're thinking, is his season over?
Right.
Can we get him back in round two?
Right.
No, you're getting him back with a little more than 10 games to go in the regular season. That's a big positive for the Avs.
Okay, big, huge positive for the Avs.
We're always looking for positives with the Avs.
We are.
When you get Cale and EJ back, when they gave up 5 goals to Pittsburgh the other night and like 46 shots, defense was an issue. They're still missing Josh Manson, but this will be a big upgrade on the blue line.
And looking at the playoffs and how the West is shaking out compared to the East, where do you like the Avs at right now in coming out of the East?
Or you mean the West?
Yeah, the West. Excuse me, the West.
I was like, if they're coming out of the East, they're in trouble.
We're coming out of the West, though.
Coming out of the West. I got good news for you. I don't see anyone in the West that can beat them 4 times in 7 games. I just don't. And what's fascinating, fellas, is they have 5 different first-round matchups that are possible. By this time of year, usually you can narrow in 1 or 2.
Right.
But it's like they could play Dallas. They could play Minnesota. They could play Winnipeg. They could play Seattle. They could play Vegas if they fall to a wild card, whatever. I think with them right now, it's not as much about where they're seated. It's about who's healthy. They didn't lose a game on the road in the Western Conference last year. The Nuggets, they need home court advantage. The Avs, doesn't matter. They could be the 8th seed, and I still think they'd be the favorites to win the West. When you don't lose in the playoffs till game 3 down in Tampa on the road, you're comfortable playing wherever. It's more about getting everyone back. And like I said, big step tonight with 2 core players coming back.
Will Peterson, DenverSports.com. Now, Will, the stadium stuff, the survey that the Denver Broncos had put out there is something that's fascinated you for a couple of reasons. 1, the location, and 2, the roof. Let's talk location and why this seems to trigger a lot of Broncos fans, because they just don't want it to change from downtown. And I'm like, the new stadium experience can't happen downtown. I'm sorry. It can't happen at Elitch's. It can't happen where it's at right now. You build it out by the airport, you can do the new stadium experience, which includes a community and everything, and you know, theaters and shopping center and restaurants and bars and all that. That's what, you know, teams want to have. And if you're the Walton Penner Group, that may be what your plan is.
Yeah, it was really interesting when that survey dropped about 5:30 last night. Mason and I spent the whole hour on Denver Sports Tonight on it, because the location, they dropped 6 possible locations. Current location, downtown, and then all 4 directions, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. So the Walton Penner Family Ownership Group is not ruling out anything. You said the airport. That's the conventional thinking. But when you throw a southwest in there, what, are you going to go build a stadium in Littleton? You're going to go build a stadium by Red Rocks? Like, I don't know.
Sheffield Reservoir.
They're clearly open to ideas, though, which I think was cool. And I also think it means they are not set on where this thing's going
to
be.
Do you really think they're open to ideas, Will? I mean, do you really think that they're open? They'll go anywhere. Like, if the fans tell them to go, you know, to Longmont, they'll go to Longmont. I don't. I'm not buying that. I think they got 2 or 3 locations that they're honed in on. There's not, you know, it's not like there's a million choices, and that's what they're going to go with. I don't think they're really putting a lot into fans telling them where to put the stadium.
You think this was a ruse then?
Not all of it. No, not all of it.
Okay.
But I think they do gather some good information here, but I don't think that they're going to let the fans determine where they build the stadium. No, not at all. I'm not buying it.
You don't want the Commerce City Broncos?
No.
You know, if they're next to Dick's Sporting Goods? Shout out, Northeast.
Well, no, I don't want it out there. No, certainly. No, absolutely not. But I think they – look – there's only a few places that you can really put it, I think. Yeah, right?
And you agree that the – because here's the thing. They're going to pay for it, or at least we think. That's a whole different conversation with the PSLs. But if they build it, we will come. They will make so much money if they own the bar, if they own the theater, if they own the restaurant. So it's like, okay, you guys got to spot $5 billion up front, but we'll inject $5 billion back into that thing in a couple of years because you need to make it not just nine football games. You need to make it 24/7, 365. People want to be there. There's entertainment. There's nightlife. There's good food.
They're
going to
own everything around
it. Exactly.
That's the model, and that's where you make all your money is all the land around it, all the shopping center, all that stuff. That's what they will own, and that's the route they're going to go eventually. That's to me anyway. All right, let's talk Nuggets.
Okay.
All right, where are you at with the Denver Nuggets, with their bench, with Jamal, Michael Porter Jr.'s heating up, the MVP race? Just give it to me all. Where you at with all that is the Denver Nuggets right now, Will?
Well, it's interesting because all three of those guys you mentioned are obviously critical to them getting out of the West, playing in their first ever NBA Finals. But it's a name you didn't mention that I want to focus on, and that's Aaron Gordon. Because what is going on with this dude? We were talking Aaron Gordon's an all-star snub in January and February. And he must still be hurt, guys, because his play, his shooting, his tenacity around the rim, rebounding, has fallen off a cliff. And anyone who thinks otherwise is just burying their head in the sand. They got a really nice win in Washington the other night because Jokic, MPJ, and Jamal played well. Aaron Gordon did nothing. They need Aaron Gordon, a physical guy in the playoffs, to step his play up. I wouldn't play him the rest of the regular season.
The rest? Just sitting him.
What's the point? You're going to be the one seed, and he is not healthy. He needs 3-4 weeks off before the playoffs because he has to be the same guy he was in the first half for them to win the West.
So you think he's just not healthy?
Did he forget how to play basketball?
I don't know. You guys go in slumps. I mean, if he's not healthy, then don't play the guy, especially when he's struggling. I'm with you. But, like, if he's healthy, he needs to play his way through this slump before the playoffs.
But
I don't know.
This isn't baseball. Do you believe in slumps in basketball?
Well, not when
I believe in a shooting slump.
Shooter slumps, but not forgetting
how to rebound.
Right. No, you're right about that. But shooting slumps obviously are there. I don't know. I don't want to sit the guy just to sit him. I want him to work his way through some of this stuff. And you know, Jamal's been out for a little bit, and now
you're always worried about MPJ missing time, but like get Gordon right
exactly.
And if that's what it takes,
absolutely. What about with this bench? I mean, come on, like we got to figure this thing out. This is me, like you know, Reggie Jackson, Thomas Bryant, you brought in, and both of those haven't worked out. Now Christian Brown's playing all these minutes again. It's like okay, well, let's get this bench figured out. But it's been very underwhelming, hasn't it?
It has, but luckily Michael Malone said or did what we've all been saying for months and months. Christian Brown has to play because Malone will lament the lack of energy after a game, and Christian Brown will sit on the bench the whole game. It's like, dude, you got a spark plug right there. Put him in the game. I don't care that he's a rookie. I don't care that you don't like to play rookies. He needs to play because he is one of your, well, let's call it 7 or 8 best players, and those guys need to be on the floor. I think Flacco needs to be on the floor. Jeff Green, he can park his butt on the bench. Reggie Jackson, bench. Thomas Bryant, bench. He needs to run a 7 or 8-man rotation in the playoffs. Christian Brown, Bruce Brown, Vlatko, the 5 starters.
Okay, I like it.
Will Peterson, DenverSports.com. Yes or no answer, Will. And okay. I apologize, we ran out of time. Does the MVP race come down to Monday night against the Sixers? Yes or no?
Yes, but with a quick caveat.
He couldn't help himself.
He can't help himself.
Also Saturday, because Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks are here. So it's not just Monday.
Okay.
It's the next two games.
The next
you
two
get
games.
All three MVP favorites at Ball Arena in a 48-hour span. That will be fascinating.
That will be fascinating. We'll cover it all for you at DenverSports.com. Will, appreciate you, my friend.
See you guys.
And there he goes. Will Peterson, ladies and gentlemen, DenverSports.com. What's the biggest hole remaining to fill for the Denver Broncos? It's actually kind of big. We'll tell you about it next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It is Stokely and Zach on a Friday. Cecil Lammy sitting in for Zach Bai, and I guess Kevin Kistner, we have a surprise.
Boys, 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 you know you couldn't have too much fun near the end of the week without me. That's right. Fellas, put your thinking caps on because it's time to play some trivia. Wow. Kistner, hit the music.
Oh, goodness.
Question number one. What baseball player holds the record for highest batting average of all time, hitting an astounding 366 for a career that spanned 24 seasons?
Wow. Okay. Oof. A little baseball trivia off the bat.
Yeah, we're not going to get this one.
I will go with, is it Ted Williams? I'll go
Are
Ted
allowed
Williams.
To use Google?
I'll go Ted. No, you're not allowed to use Google.
Oh.
Okay, that's cheating. We don't cheat on this show, okay? I go Ted Williams.
The correct answer is Ty Cobb.
Dang it.
Wow.
Ty Cobb, okay.
Okay, Zach.
All right. All right.
Question number two. This is a college football question, boys. Here we go. What college quarterback holds the record for most touchdown passes in a career, tossing 155 tutties?
College quarterback throws the most touchdown passes college career. Do you know, Cecil, at all?
No, I would have no idea.
Okay, well, I mean, we just take a wild guess. I mean, like, hey, how about Case Keenum?
It's a good guess.
I know he threw for a lot of yards.
That is a good guess.
Yeah.
The correct answer is former Broncos quarterback Case Keenum.
There you go.
Bam,
you got it.
He's trying to get over on me. That's what he does. He tries to get over on me. Throws the Broncos one out there. I get it wrong. All Broncos fans are like, Stokely, you're an idiot. Bam.
Got it.
Got your face. In your face, Zach. Let's hear it.
All right, here's question number three, boys. It's a basketball question. Former Denver Nugget Dikembe Mutombo and what other NBA Hall of Famer are the only players to ever win NBA Defensive Player of the Year a record four times? Let me repeat that question again. Former Nugget Dikembe Mutombo and what other NBA Hall of Famer are the only players ever to win NBA Defensive Player of the Year a record four times?
I got a guess.
Okay.
I'm going to go Dennis Rodman.
I was thinking Rodman, but I was like,
the worm. I don't know.
Did he win it that many times?
I don't know. That's the only one that kind of comes
to. Or is it somebody like Wilt?
Or like Gary Payton the Glove. But he's not a Hall of Famer, is he?
I'm not sure.
Should be. I'm going to go with the worm.
I think it's good. I wanted to go Rodman, but I think it's old school. Okay. I think it's like a Wilt or something like
that. All right.
The correct answer is maybe the greatest undrafted player of all time. It's Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Detroit Pistons.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Obviously very good defender.
All right, boys. I have a multiple choice baseball question for you. Buckle up. Question number four. What Major League Baseball player has the record for most grand slams in a career with 25? Is it Manny Ramirez, Barry Bonds, Albert Pujols, or Alex Rodriguez? What Major League Baseball player has the record for most grand slams in a career with 25? Is it Manny Ramirez, Barry Bonds, Albert Pujols, or A-Rod?
I mean, what's the outlier there? The outlier there is kind of Manny out of left field. Like, why would he throw him in there? So that gives me some pause. Obviously, I don't know it. Albert Pujols.
Lou Gehrig used to hold this record. I actually know this answer, which is crazy, but it actually wasn't broken that long ago.
I'm just not going to guess Alex Rodriguez.
You should.
I'm going with Albert Pujols.
I'm going with A-Rod.
The correct answer is Alex Rodriguez.
Ah! Just don't like guessing Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. Lou Gehrig had it with 23 until like 2012 or something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Finish up.
All right, boys. Here's your final question of the day. Question number five. It's a baseball question. What Major League Baseball pitcher in 2016 hit his first ever home run at 42 years old, almost 43, and simultaneously became the oldest player to ever hit a home run?
I do.
Let me give that to you again.
What
Major League Baseball pitcher in 2016 hit his first ever home run at 42 years old and simultaneously became the oldest player ever to him at
Bartolo Colon. Bartolo Colon.
You got it?
The correct answer is Bartolo Colon.
Bam! Knew what team, knew he was hefty. He was the man, though. He was the man. Like, pitching as long as he did, didn't look like a great athlete, obviously. But I remember when he hit that home run, and obviously the dugout erupted. That's all right. That was fun.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed you guys' baseball knowledge. That wasn't bad for you, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah,
that was nice of Zach, I guess. That was nice of Zach to put the extra work in to deliver trivia on a Friday that he has taken off.
I know.
Really, really cool. That was a lot of fun. So kudos, shout out to Zach Bye on his off day. He's still, you know,
making the work.
He's still making it about him.
Yes. Right. This is not a drill.
And I love how Drew Spivak, thank you, # bring back Spivak, like, hey, you guys knew a little baseball. Yeah. Congrats.
Right.
Like, that is a complisult. That's when you're complimented and insulted at the same time.
Backhanded compliment.
Thank you, Drew.
There. Yes. That was fun, though. That was fun.
That was fun. And exciting. It's got a little brain teaser there. You got the Case Keenum one, though. The Case Keenum one, like Case,
I just remember he threw for a lot of yards at the University of Houston, right?
And he was there forever, and he threw a lot of touchdowns. Yeah. Like, I was thinking something cute, like a Bailey Zappi or something like that.
Yeah.
But Case was there much longer and, well, filled there with footballs.
That's right. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. Threw it around the yard. So that was fun, though. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Fun little Friday trivia thing. And
Broncos just signed two new guys the last 2 days.
Yes.
We got news coming down. We got fun weekend Saturday, Nuggets, Bucks, Monday, Nuggets, 76ers. You know, the three leaders in the clubhouse for the MVP will be here in town facing off against Jokic. We got a lot going on. Broncos signed Tony Jones, power running back, right, Cecil? That's what you sold us.
And power back.
Marquez Callaway. Two depth guys there.
Right.
Both have played with the Saints.
Right.
Anything else you want to add on those two?
Well, with Callaway, you get returner ability as well because he's big and he's fast. 6'2", 209, he can run.
Love it.
So you get that speed, you get the returner, and, I hate to be that guy, but, like, I don't know if Montrell Washington even makes this team.
Well, it's not trending in a great direction for him.
No.
But the only thing that I think will help him here is – there's no slot receiver. Can he take over that role?
An opportunity.
There's an opportunity all offseason for him to showcase himself.
Yes.
Right? And to the coaches. Because KJ Hamler's not going to go through any offseason stuff at all.
No.
He just had surgery on his pec.
No. And you're here. Might as well.
Right. It's wide open. And that's going to be an interesting one for me is he's going to have a real opportunity there this offseason to create a lot of momentum and, do a lot of positive things in the coach's eyes heading into training camp and when it really matters. So, important offseason for Montrell Washington. Yes, they've signed two returners, guys.
Right.
Got the guy from Houston that's a secondary cornerback.
Yeah, Tremont Smith.
Yes, but also a really good returner. And then now guy like Marquez Callaway who can return the football and has done it in the past. So, hey, pressure's on Montrell Washington to go out there and it probably won't be in the return game. Right? He's not going to be probably not going to be the starting returner, is he?
And that's not going to be how he keeps his job.
Right. You're going to have to do it on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah. And there will be an opportunity. But as Sean Payton said, it's like a car. You're just going to knock off the rearview mirrors. Only the front windshield. So if you're Montrell, you didn't play those last two games. You weren't real good last year. You had the preseason hype. That was it. That was it. Well, thank you, Zach Bye, for showing up on his off day and getting it done. It is a Friday edition, and we are celebrating something special. We'll tell you what it is next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
I need one she ain't climbed up in that ain't played her favorite songs. Need some glass that we ain't fogged up that her bare feet ain't been on. I need a hug that we ain't laid
idea who this is?
It's some sort of bro country, right?
Bro country.
I don't like bro country. I'm from the country, so I take offense when people who aren't from the country are like, I love bro country.
What's bro country?
I'm gonna drink and I'm gonna drive my truck and I'm gonna drink some more and I'm gonna drink and drive my truck. Like, that's just bro country. Uh-huh. That ain't country.
Oh.
Country's Merle Haggard. Okay. Country's Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, but that's
country's
like,
George Strait.
Well, yeah, but that's old school country. There's still like some new school country stuff that, you know, that I like it all. I like old school country. I like some of the new school country.
You like some bro country?
Yes. Why not? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just a little offended.
You're offended?
I'm offended. Yeah, I'm offended.
Wow. Don't be so sensitive, Cecil. Don't be so sensitive. We don't get offended on this show.
Okay, don't get triggered.
That's right.
Okay.
Who is this kid? Is this like not Brantley Gilbert. We already had him. Toby Keith.
This is my guy, Dylan Scott.
Dylan Scott.
Dylan Scott. Okay. Right. There you go. Is he actually from the country? Is he fake?
Louisiana boy.
Yeah, we're... Okay. Oh.
All right. There you go. I like him already.
Yeah.
That's country. That's for sure. Coming up Thursday, we're holding a very special fan VIP event where you can mingle with us, the fan hosts, and catch an exclusive early screening of Air. I have a special pair of Jordans that I will wear for this occasion.
Will you?
Breaking it out. Love my 111th pair of Jordans. But
is that how many you have?
I used to have 120 and then I sold some.
You did?
Yeah.
Downsized a little bit.
A little bit.
Wow. So.
Yeah.
111.
Yeah.
You got to count on them.
Yeah.
Okay. What, like, is it an investment type of deal? Is it a something? Do you wear any of them or just a few of them?
I wear most of them. There's only a few that I don't wear that are kind of investments, I guess. But one day, Nikki Javala asked me at Broncos, she's like, why do you have 100 pair of Jordans? And I was like, I'm emotionally damaged, okay? Like, shopping makes me happy.
Sure.
So when I'm sad, I go shopping.
Yes.
And that's why I have 111 pairs of Jordans.
A lot of sadness with Cecil Lammy. Get it all here.
There's a lot of pain and shame in those eyes.
In that chest of his.
All right, there you go. How about you come over to the theater with us to see some Air? Movie doesn't open until April 5th, but you can see it early. It's next Thursday. Have a great time hanging out with your favorite fan hosts, Stink, Evans, Nate, Zach, D-Mac, and Derek, to name a few. Giving away 4 VIP seats to the event. Caller number 4 right now, 303-713-1043. 303-713-1043. We are celebrating something today, Stoke.
We are.
It's Peyton Manning's birthday.
Oh!
Happy birthday, Peyton Manning.
That's right.
I asked you, like, what do you get the guy who has everything for his birthday? Like, I can't even imagine, like, you know, what would you get Peyton? You think, you're his best friend. Like,
I think... we actually celebrated it last night.
Okay.
Was my
phone off? I didn't.
It might have went straight to voicemail.
Maybe.
A message? No.
No message?
Yeah, okay. No, we had a nice dinner last night. And
before the snow.
Yeah, before the snow. Look, what you get, like, hey, how about a nice bottle of wine?
Let's hang out.
Yeah.
Let's have a good time.
I just got him a handshake and a hug and a happy birthday. That's what I got him this year.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
like, what best friends do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, did I need to get him a bottle of wine?
No, I don't think so.
No. But, you know, you get him a bottle of bourbon, a nice bottle of wine, or something like that. I mean, but what else could you really get him? Like another pullover? You know, he's got every color. He's got, how many pullovers in sports coats?
Loves a three-quarter zip.
Yes, yeah, I do too. You can't go wrong with that.
It's a good look. Very versatile, right?
What am I wearing today? Right.
Three-quarter zip.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's got them all. So... I don't know what you can really, like, golf balls? Like, golf? Like, no, he's got, so, it's a hard thing to do is a shop. The easiest way to do it, nice bottle of wine. You can never go wrong there.
Okay.
Well, dilly.
Because we are going to see this Michael Jordan movie Air, right, next Thursday. Not sure if you're going to be able to make it, but, like, I'll be there, Stink, Nate, Evans, all that. They should do, like, a documentary about Peyton and the Mannings. Like, even more than they've already done, because they have done, like, making the Mannings. Like, they've done that, but, like, kind of a movie thing. Like, we're seeing here with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Yeah.
Oh, like a real movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Omaha Productions could put it on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be, that probably could happen.
I think that type of sports movie, like, I am so looking forward to this Air.
like sports movies to me, they hit just differently as a sports fan and a movie fan. Like it's peanut butter and chocolate, man. It's like the greatest combination ever when you can get a great sports movie or The Last Dance, which I know was a Netflix documentary, whatever, like that type of stuff where you get to see like the beginnings and the creation and the behind the scenes and like, those types of things are fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love it. Can't wait for to watch Air.
Yeah, or any sort of 30 for 30. Like, if it's a 30 love for 30 em. On love soccer em. And I can't stand kickball, I apologize. Everyone, this is the greatest sport ever or whatever I got to say. But, like, if there's a 30 for 30 on something like drying paint or soccer or something, like, it's fascinating to me.
I agree. I agree with you. I love those 30 for 30s and all those things that kind of take you through in a different lens and different, you know, things that you remembered happened and you get to go back and like, oh, remember when Duke upset UNLV or remember when this team did this?
Had to bring that up, huh? It's because I'm sitting here.
Christian Leitner's shot and, you know, those types of things. It's
they're a little late with that the shot clock on that one, right? Because they threw it inbounds all the way down the free throw line.
You're talking about the Leitner?
Yeah, the Leitner shot against Kentucky. Like that probably was a little slow to hit go on that clock.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
No, I think it was. They were fine. They just hit a great shot. But I remember, you know, like that was high school for me. And, you know, you went to the rec club after or at high school and you're doing that shot.
Did you recreate that shot?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Did you hit it?
Times. Never. Of course not. No. But it's just. But those are fun. Those things are fun to watch, obviously, and kind of bring you back and tell you, and, you know, you get to hear from their perspectives. And so, yeah, the Air would be great, though, next Thursday.
Next Thursday. Air, you want to be there. I still want an I Hate Christian Leitner shirt. That was off of one of those 30 for 30s about Duke.
That's right.
Yeah, I Hate Christian Leitner.
As I'm watching Rory just put it right in the middle of the water. a lot of people hated him. Obviously, a lot of people hate Duke. Either you love him or hate him.
Yeah.
And same thing with Christian Leitner. I mean, he's like the face of Duke.
Yeah.
Right? But I love Duke. And so that was an awesome shot.
How did that happen? How did you fall in love with Duke?
Well, so you really want to know?
I really want to know.
Okay. In high school, my dad was head coach football, but also the athletic director. And he got tickets to the Final Four.
Okay.
Final Four was coming up.
And where was that?
It was we went back-to-back years. Okay. 1 year was Minneapolis. Next year was Indianapolis.
Okay.
So it was, I think Indianapolis was the second. So I think it was Minneapolis first. Second year was Indianapolis. And who did I want to see in the finals? I wanted to see UNLV.
Yes, of course.
I wanted to see the Running Rebs. They just won it the year before, I believe.
And they beat Duke by like 30.
And I think, yes. Right, they
Larry Johnson. It was here in Denver.
Ogman, Stacey Ogman, Hunt, Anderson Hunt.
Greg Anthony.
Yes, Greg Anthony. So, look, they were awesome. That's who I wanted to see, you know. And all of a sudden, they got upset by Duke.
I know.
By so, 2 points. I'm like, okay, I'm going to this game now. I got to pick a team that I like, the finals. I got to pick a team that I like. So, I was like, okay, let me go for Duke. And then that's when I became a Duke fan, just like that. And then the next year, I didn't just go to the finals. We went to the whole Final Four deal. Duke ran through everybody again. They ended up winning back-to-back. So that's how I became a Duke fan. I went to Duke's basketball camp my senior year of high school. That was really cool.
Nice.
So that's how I became a Duke fan.
Okay. Well, originally, at least you started as UNLV.
Yes.
Good.
That's right. I mean, they had Larry the Johnson. Swag, right? It was like the Fab Five. You know, they had the swag. UNLV had the swag, and that's what you were drawn to. They played at a up tempo. They could do
Running
it all.
Rebels.
Yeah, you just loved it with Shark. You know, the Tarkanian.
Yep.
Yeah, he's back to chewing on his towel. I mean, they just had it all.
In that game before Duke, when they beat him by 30, I didn't know this. I just saw a little thing of Larry Johnson, who I love, by the way. Walter Payton went to the locker room to talk to him before that game when they waxed Duke by 30 or whatever. Walter Payton was in their locker room because Tarkanian knew everybody.
Sure.
You know, so he could just call up Walter. Walter loved those guys. So, yeah, we all loved. In the 90s, we loved UNLV. And then stupid Duke beat him by 2. That's why Stacey Ogman and Larry Johnson wore the number 2 in the NBA. Because they owed Tark that second title.
Wow.
They should have won 2. And they didn't.
They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Duke.
That's a better story than Kevin Kistner's story about why he liked Duke. Kevin Kistner, I can spell it. Like, that's yeah. it. That's it. Wow. That's the only reason why.
Not wow. even true.
Kistner.
Just hating on us today.
I mean, like, he started the show throwing you under the bus. Then he threw Drew under the bus. Now yeah. he's throwing you under the bus on the way out of the show.
I didn't get to Simmer yet. I got to pick something with Simmer. Give me something with John Simmer. Anyway, we'll get it done.
Cease, it's been a blast hanging with you the last 2 days.
I appreciate doing a show with you, brother.
You have a great weekend, okay?
You
have
as well.
Have a great weekend. And how about our guy, Zach?
I know, man.
On his day off, putting in extra work and doing trivia for us. That right. was a lot of fun. It's been a fun week at work, and I just can't wait for next week. I can't wait for Saturday and for Monday. We'll know on Tuesday, you know, who the MVP is going to be.
Yes,
and if Jokic can close that ground and overtake Embiid to get back to be the favorite there, it's but obviously a big week for the Nuggets coming up here.
Yep.
Big week for Jokic. Bronco's still signing, guys. We just had a couple signings. So,
right.
Thanks, buddy.
I'll do my
you.
Homework with the safety position. So we'll get all that done and more.
And KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver before I start my weekend early.
Okay, starting the weekend early. Stoke, be good, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. And the Denver Broncos continue to do things that they needed to do, and that is add to special teams, add to the wide receiver position. Matt Smith is in the USA basketball hat. I'm always inspired by your hat choices, except I've noticed you don't have a slouchy beanie.
No, not like you. Age, you've got the cool kid
and
beanie.
And I'm growing out my hair.
Right.
Like Conan, like growing out.
Right, I can't do that either.
It's not there yet. But because I don't want to mess with my hair, I just wear a slouchy beanie.
Okay.
And then it's like, it's good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Your baseball caps get a little too tight when you get long hair.
See, yeah, Stone. Hit them straight, Stone.
Yeah, there you go. But the USA basketball, that's tight, man.
Yeah, the Dream Team hat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I only have a Dream Team uniform, or jersey.
Oh.
You would be shocked to know it's Larry Johnson, even though he's Dream Team 2.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
What did you think of this stadium survey, man?
I just wonder the legitimacy of it.
Yeah.
Not to say that they would do anything with no sorts of leanings towards actually using the information that the fans give them, but I feel like they have a general idea of what they're going to do. They just kind of want to take the pulse of their fans. It shows that they, you know, care about the reactions to their fans. At least they're giving off that sign of caring.
Yeah.
Let's say all the fans came back and 99% of them said, build a stadium at Chatfield Reservoir. I don't think they would change their mind.
Mm-mm.
They're going to either build something on Elitch's or they're going to build something out by the airport. That's the one of two spots that they will choose and get ready for it to move. For all the traditionalists or, you know, old school or whatever, and I get it. I'm never going to tell anyone how to fan, but I'm just like, I'm not married to the spot where it's at right now. I don't think it's a very good stadium. I know I get in trouble whenever I say that, but, like, I've been to the newest stadiums, and this thing isn't anything close. It's about middle of the pack. If I'm being nice, in Power Field at Mile High is about 25th out of 32. Like, it's definitely not in the top 10. It's not in the top 20. It's somewhere around there. And for today's stadium experience, listen, I was talking to Drew the other day. He's like, man, I love staying home. I love, like, you know, to having my own beer at home or whatever. Like, the stadium experience, going to a game, is kind of a larger deal where it's like, okay, you got the parking and you got those concessions and you got all this seating and all this sorts of stuff. Like, you need to make that experience way better than just staying at home with your 80-inch, you know, LED, 4K, W2, whatever, TV. Like, yeah, people have such an entertainment system at home. It's just easier to stay home, watch the game, watch Red Zone. You know, it's maybe more enjoyable. So you have to make that modern and not just the old school of let's go tailgate and let's get drunk and all that and then go to the stadium.
What's wrong with getting drunk and tailgating?
Nothing. But, the new stadiums just blow this stuff, what Denver has right now, out of the water. Fans don't necessarily want to hear that, but the truth hurts.
What is it missing more than anything?
One, a roof. Retractable roof, of course. And I say leave it open. Snow is part of the Broncos, okay? And I want cold weather to be part of Broncos football. Here's what I want. I want a Super Bowl, and I want a draft. And then, you know, any sort of concerts or whatever. But, yeah, you close it for that stuff. but it's open all the other times, right? You just, you use weather. Weather is supposed to be part of what Broncos football is. So when I say retractable roof for the stadium, I'm not saying don't have any snow and play in perfect conditions. I'm like, no, Broncos football has always been about snow. I remember the Packers game with Tommy Jackson running around for Broncos defense, and it's snow. Everyone's sliding around in the snow. I think the Broncos defense had 14 points in the first, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
Against the, this was like 80s sometime that that happened. So snow has always been a part of Broncos football, but you need a retractable roof so you can get those other things like a Super Bowl.
How many snow games I played in?
How many snow
in
games?
8 years in Denver?
Zero.
One.
One?
One.
Yeah. Yeah, one.
Yeah. You're so full of... What are you even talking about?
About what? Snow?
Dude, it's 60 degrees in January.
I know. I know.
So it's not about the weather and the snow. It's about in February, like, one time my rookie year was it cold in, for the playoffs. It was negative 14.
Right. It was freezing.
Yeah. But that was. But for the most part, our, the weather here is great.
Yeah, the weather here is great. How many snow games are there per year? Less than one.
Right.
So
it's not, we're not talking about Buffalo.
I understand the nostalgia. Yeah, yeah. I and those teams, more than anybody, need a roof. I don't know what Buffalo's thinking.
Right.
That makes no sense.
It'd be silly to make put one here. It'd be silly.
Oh, we need a retractable roof.
A retractable, yeah. But to put a dome here?
Yeah, no, no,
yeah,
no.
You don't want a dome.
No, no, no. It has to be retractable.
You should do retractable, and you should do the grass the way that Arizona does their grass.
I don't know.
Where you roll it outside and then roll it in.
Because then you can do all kinds of...
It looked great for the Super Bowl, though.
What?
That grass?
Yeah, because they painted it.
I think it was more than that, though.
No, that grass is usually good.
That grass is usually good.
It's the paint.
All right.
The previous Super Bowls, it's been outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Fresh paint on it like that, it gets slick.
It was just the paint this time. Okay.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it grown by that grass, that sod guru? You hear about that during Super Bowl week or no?
I know sod guru, but that's a different type of guru.
Okay. It's irrelevant. I think a retractable roof is number one on my list.
Yeah,
for the
different
new
type of grass, bud.
Yeah,
I hate to ask the snow game, Derek. Besides the rookie season, because the
it wasn't even snowing; it was just that.
It
cold.
It was just that cold. Right. Yeah,
miserable.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been the December game, the overtime game, 2015 against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it.
Yep.
But it wasn't even really cold. It was.
Would you miss that from your career?
Here's the thing with football,
CJ.
Once it gets below 25, that's when it starts feeling cold. Because like 25 and up, it's like whatever. You know, it's not that bad. But once you get below 25 degrees, that's when it's like everything just sucks. It's miserable. You just can't get warm. Doesn't matter what you do. You melt your gloves on the heater on the sideline. Like it doesn't matter.
Look, the benefit that you give economically to the city when you bring in Final Fours and Super Bowls and NFL drafts, that can't be duplicated, right? That is a resource that we don't have right now because we don't have the venue for it. So that's what it seemed to me. This whole survey, it wasn't a survey to renovate and redo down there, in my opinion. That's not what it was. You saw all of those suggestions as far as amenities go. They're not putting a bunch of movie theaters down by Ulitches. They're not doing, you know, they'll put bars and stuff down there, but they're not doing an entire community. What the vibe I got from that survey was, hey, this is kind of broad strokes what we're thinking, creating a Broncos land, Broncos world,
what
however you want to put
it.
The one that they submitted to season ticket holders yesterday.
Okay.
We talked about it at the end of the show yesterday, very briefly on our way out the door. That was when it dropped. But it had a bunch of different criteria that it asked season ticket holders to rank. To me, I'm all about the community. I just worry that it's not going to be utilized enough until... What are we talking about, 25 years down the line, right? Before you build a community, before it's actually, like, really viable and vibrant out there if you put it out by the airport?
I don't think it'd take that long.
I don't think put it out by the airport, no matter what.
I think that's a pretty realistic possibility.
Yeah, I mean...
Because they'll own everything.
Yeah. That's my point. That's my point. But to build that up takes a while. I mean, maybe not 25 years, maybe 15.
No, it'd take 10 years.
Yeah,
to build it all, but then you got to talk about getting people in there and then having it viable.
A destination. The Broncos are going to be there.
People are going to be,
16 or 8 weekends, 9 weekends
a
year.
Either one of you guys
but all the events that go on that you can have out there,
exactly,
people will go out there.
Which is why I think it has to be a community and not here down by Ulitches, because what's the point?
Which actually, that's just going to make it even worse trying to get to the airport.
Well, what, on Sundays?
No, don't, any day. It's already far and stupid. It's dumb. The dumbest thing I've ever seen.
What were you going to ask, Cecil?
Have you guys seen the Cowboys facility where, like, there's the hotels around
the
practice field?
Yeah, the Star.
Yeah. So it's like, why not have something like that here? No.
I mean, they could do that at Dove Valley if they wanted to.
They could.
It's just far from the stadium.
So?
That's all. That would be the only drawback.
I mean, everything in Colorado is just far from each other. That's just the way it goes.
We're just kind of used to it.
Was it encouraging to you that it seems like they'd be willing to at least explore that idea of completely building a new Broncos land?
I think Broncos land would be a pretty good idea. But all the way out by the airport, there's nothing else around.
Until you build it, which is what I'm saying. Which is why it takes like 10, 15 years. City. Right. Which is why I was saying
and
it takes like 10, 15 years.
I think it would take 10, probably 10 years.
10 years, get everything done, get people out there, but then...
But they have to like get those contracts. If they can get those contracts like...
I don't think that'll be a problem for them.
No. If they get all those contracts lined up right away, they just start building.
We already know that they're going to put $100 million over the next 10 years.
In 5 years, it'll be like a destination. It'll be somewhere you want to go.
Right. We already know.
10 years, it'll be like on a whole other level. 15 years.
So we got to come up with a name for it. Besides Bronco Land, because we have Lodo and Lohi and all that. Like,
does it have to be a
Edo? East Denver? I don't know.
BF Edo.
That's more accurate.
Halfway to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go. No, I'm fine with it. Like, you got to be used to change. This new ownership group's going to do whatever they want to do, essentially. So, yeah.
We already got that big Gaylord out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been out there?
Well, I've driven by it, but...
No, I've heard it's really cool in there. I've never been in there.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, the Broncos will do what they need to do, and fans will deal with it. They'll adapt, and the Broncos will keep on thriving. So, for me, I'm more about the on-field stuff than I am the business stuff.
All right, so let's talk about that on-field stuff. Tony Jones Jr. was signed yesterday.
Saw him at the Shrine game a few years ago when it was still in Tampa. He's a power back. He's no nonsense. He doesn't catch the ball real well. But he is a good pass blocker, and again, he's all about between the tackles. He's not going to fool you with any sort of moves or any sort of speed, but he's going to run your ass over. So I appreciate that. And if you look at how they have Javonte now and Samaje Perine and now Tony Jones, it's clear the emphasis they have on power football.
Would you rather have Tony Jones Jr. or Latavius Murray?
It's Latavius, but Latavius is going to be there in August. You know, he's one of those guys like when
and
you
Tony Jones isn't?
Tony Jones probably would. But now you bring in a body that knows your system and knows what to expect and knows how you coach people and all that. And again, he's just kind of one of those hard-nosed depth runners. I'm not even sure Tony Jones makes the team. But, you know, Latavius is, in case of emergency, break glass type of guy.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, there's Marquez Callaway. And Tony Jones and Marquez Callaway both played for the Saints.
Yes.
So he's bringing in guys that know his system. And, Derek, we were talking about that a little bit as far as the quarterback room. We thought that maybe they'd want a quarterback, backup quarterback, that had worked in a Peyton system, that was a veteran presence that could help Russell and be a sounding board. But it is important to have those guys in the locker room. So is Marquez Callaway and Tony Jones Jr.'s additions going to benefit them in that regard?
Callaway's more than Tony Jones because Callaway has a better chance to make the roster and a better chance to make an impact because he's a depth receiver with speed and size and a return man.
Right.
So Tony Jones would be maybe a practice squad guy, maybe, but Marquez Callaway, that's a significant signing. And when the Saints didn't tender him as a restricted free agent, it was like, okay, just get him to Denver. Find a way to get him to Denver. And it's clear they want to change the wide receiver room. Whatever we think about the wide receivers, that's different from what they think. And they want to add more bodies, more talent.
So does Callaway's addition soften the blow of Hamler's maybe extended absence? Even though he's projected he'll be back by training camp, he's still going to miss an entire offseason once again of workouts.
Yeah, yeah. And
he'll be playing catch-up.
Yeah. He'll be playing catch-up in the wrong time.
Again.
Yeah, when you need to be playing catch-up.
So does that soften that blow a little bit?
Yeah, I mean...
Where do you see him fitting into the offense? As a
Callaway?
Gadget guy? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gadget guy. Speed guy, take the top off, you know. And there's one thing, if we talk about Sutton and Timmy Patz, and even Judy to an extent, like, they're not burners.
Right.
Callaway has more of that burner-type speed, and there's a role for that in this offense. They're still going to run the ball. They're going to set up play action, but it wouldn't surprise me if Russell Wilson averages about 20 to 25 passing attempts a game.
And he's a bigger dude, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. 6'2", 209.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good size with that speed. Where do you...
Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. One of those. All right, well, thanks, Cecil. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, be good, fellas.
All right, have a good weekend. That is Cecil Lammy. The drive rolls on. The last day, Matt Smith in for DMAC with Derek Wolfe on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.